Blog Talk.
And welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here for another week of reviewing how much stupidity can be crammed into one Congress at one time.
Ooh, a lot. Tons. Bunches.
Tons.
Yeah.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. It's about 30 degrees out here and kind of cool, and lots of stars out, and all that kind of good stuff.
It's snowing here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had it and you had something else.
Yesterday they predicted about an inch. We got about 3.
Ah, okay.
But it was light. It was relatively easy to shovel. It only took me 2 hours.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, man.
Other than that, CJ's off school this week because of Christmas break.
Yep.
So we've been doing lots of shopping.
Yeah.
With all the snow, we decided to take the day off and just stay inside. I don't know how staying inside and shoveling snow, are equivalents, but apparently they are.
I see. Yeah.
Got some work done, did some things, talked to some clients. Victoria has finally decided that draperies are good.
Yep.
No more blinds, just drapes. That's good. I like drapes. That's fine.
I like drapes. Drapes
keep you... Tomorrow is CJ's 15th birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Tomorrow she gets to do whatever she wants to do.
Hmm.
And she wants to see 5 movies.
She wants to see 5 movies. All right.
I don't know what 5 she wants to see, but she wants to see 5 movies. I told her no, because you want to go out to dinner. On her birthday, she does crab legs. And we have to go to a place where they do all you can eat, because she can eat a lot.
She can put them away. Okay.
If we have to pay by the pound, it gets really expensive. So, there's a place in town that's an all-you-can-eat crab place, and she goes and just, we usually end up spending about an hour and a half there, because she just keeps plowing through them. She's been doing that since she was, 5.
My God.
See a 5-year-old with, the cracker thing, pulling the crab legs apart,
yeah.
It's just an amazing thing to watch. And they're just piling away and piling away and piling away. So she'll get to do whatever she wants to do tomorrow, and we'll do dinner, and so nothing else will happen tomorrow, and then we will do grocery shopping on Christmas Eve, and our normal Christmas Eve dinner is we make mushroom stroganoff from scratch.
Ooh.
We usually make about 5 pounds of it. And we have it for Christmas Eve dinner usually we have it with noodles the first night. And then the 5 pounds is enough for a second dinner, which we have on Christmas Day with rice. So, that's our thing. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything for Christmas. It's going to be quiet at home as it usually is.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a nice quiet weekend and then go back to work next week. CJ will still be off school, but, you know, shoveling snow, getting ready for Christmas. I got most of my Christmas shopping done. How about you?
My Christmas shopping is all done. It's all done. Every last stinking bit of it. Now all I got to do is wrap them.
I got a couple more things.
Well,
And, of course, everybody says, please do more shopping because the economy needs the boost. I'm absolutely 100%. You're well aware of what was announced today on GDP.
Yeah.
Wonderful 3.5% growth we had in the third quarter has since been revised downward to
2.2.
Well,
that's a second
revision.
That's
almost a full third less than it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
37%.
It's like, okay, we're going to play with these numbers until we get them right.
Well, you and I agreed the number was full of hooey.
Yeah. And I still think it's full of hooey. I can't prove it, but I think it.
Well, I think it's rather interesting because what did they say that between all the stimulus that went on, like 1.8 or 1.9% of the growth was directly stimulus related?
Something like that, something close to that. Cash for clunkers.
Yeah, so 2.2 means that practically all of that growth was pure government stimulation.
Yep.
And that's
and
kind of what
that means is that when that goes away, and it has, it's like, oh, okay, that's gone away. What's next?
Well, housing sales went up 44% in November.
Ooh.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
That, of course, is going away in December.
Because that was the thing about the cash for
home. Right. Tax credit for buying a home.
There you go.
We've had one major snowstorm hit the East Coast on the last shopping weekend before Christmas. That's going to do a little bit of damage to retailers, especially over there.
Yeah.
We've got another storm moving through right now.
Mm-hmm.
This storm that's hitting us right now is going to supposedly be mixing with another storm that's building in the southern Gulf area that's going to slam into the Northeast again on Thursday. Thank you very much for that shopping.
Uh-huh.
Day going to be going to hell.
Uh-huh.
Are you a Stephen King fan?
Some of his stuff. Yeah, not all of it, but some of it. Cell Phone was good. I like Cell Phone.
I was a fan of his in reading stuff. You know, a very long time ago. I read Carrie a very long time ago. I read Salem's Lot a very long time ago.
Yeah,
I read The Stand
a
very long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I saw some of his stuff on movies, and I wasn't really impressed. And then some of his later stuff just kind of got real too formulistic for me. I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. But the whole idea that just disappeared out of my head.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about... Oh, that was it. I don't know if it was a Stephen King movie called... was it called The Perfect Storm? Anyways, little island, northeastern island community, big blizzard, evil, mean thing demands that they give up one of their children... You know, and I was thinking, okay, so here we've got Harry Reid, you know, in the middle of a blizzard, going to Congress, give up your constitution, you know, and I'll let you live.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I get real tired of this. This is like, and this isn't even getting into his whole takes a supermajority thing. Just the whole concept of a right to health care, just the whole concept of a a right to medical care is just absolutely infuriating. It's like you haven't read the Constitution, or if you have, you have decided to ignore it.
You know, for the last couple of days, lefties keep coming up to me and going, you know, your anti-government rant is wearing pretty thin. Don't you remember, you know, for the people? And, it's right there in the Constitution. I'm going like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's right there in the Constitution. You know, by the people, for the people. I'm like, no, it's not.
Oh, that's not.
I said, if you want to know that quote, I said, go find Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. But, I said, it's certainly not in the Constitution.
No, it isn't. No, not a bit.
Not a bit. So, it's this idea that, the government has, and what drives me equally crazy, because Senator, Lindsey Graham, said it, yesterday. He said, our purpose is to run the country and to help the people. And I'm like, no, it's fucking not.
No.
You run the government. You don't run the country. You run the government. And your purpose is not to help the people. Your purpose
exactly.
is to make sure the government runs efficiently.
Exactly.
And he's on our side.
Yeah, right. Okay. that's the part that is really kind of suspect. And I say that because of this. Anytime you have someone say, I am going to run the country, not the government, the country, you need to run, not walk from them, because their version of running the country is absolutely, completely different than your version.
You finish that thought. Let me see what
yeah.
Are you finished that thought? Here's what I have to say. You know what? That's been our biggest mistake. Every time somebody says they want to run the country, we should be running the other way.
Yeah. No,
I think we should be running towards them with a bat.
Yeah, or a pitchfork. Yeah.
You want to run the country? Fine, let me hit you about the head for a while.
Yeah, really, exactly.
Yeah, somebody said, time to go to Washington, D.C. with, torches and pitchforks. And I said, I was kind of thinking more along the lines of tar and feather.
Yeah. And I'll supply the rails. I got lots of rails. You betcha. 535 of them.
Or, we could just build some racks. Stocks and racks.
I like that too.
I like the idea of putting stocks all around DuPont Circle and then just acting them out in there.
Yeah.
We can rotate them.
Ooh. Now that's a grand idea.
I've been having ideas. I thought of a new voucher program that I think the progressives can get on board with.
What's that?
It's anybody 133% of the poverty line or less. Okay? So we're going to means test this. But if your income is 133% of the poverty line or less, then you get a voucher that you can go into Walmart and you can take anything out of there and you don't have to go to jail for stealing.
Ah, good.
Hey, if Congress can do it, I'm certain we can do the poor people the same favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Congress
Walmart's
does
rich,
not.
They can afford it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Congress does not have the poor people in mind.
Right. So, you know, yeah. I think that's what we should do is we should just give a voucher to the poor people and then go into Walmart, and anything they can take out in one shopping cart, theirs.
Now, is that a shopping cart, or is that one of those trolley kind of things?
No, it's just a regular shopping cart.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, and they could get a new voucher at the beginning of every month.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
You know, if we're going to take from the rich and give to the poor, you know, let them make their own choices of what they want.
Novel idea.
Have a nice selection.
Novel idea. I like that.
I'm thinking that that's a progressive voucher system that'll fly. Okay, so it's 1 o'clock in the morning. What do you know? What your senator is doing? My senator was doing. He was actually kind of going, well, this isn't that good of a bill.
Yeah, right.
Because Feingold doesn't think that it's that great of a bill. But he did vote for it, along with Herb Cole, who is our resident Alzheimer's patient.
Yeah. well, that'd be Bobby. Bobby Bird?
Yeah. I did see him get wheeled in by the wheelchair. Did you see him getting wheeled in by the wheelchair?
I didn't watch that, but I assumed that happened. Because it was 60 to 40.
In the dead of night on a Sunday morning, how pathetic.
Yeah, I know.
arrogant, contemptuous, pathetic. That's the word that has stuck with me for the last 2 days.
Pathetic.
Contemptuous.
Yeah.
No, contemptuous. Yep. You know, it is pure contempt that they hold, the American people in right now. Pure contempt.
Yep, absolutely. 56% of the people, this is like all adults, and I know some great young conservatives, but this is like all adults are against this bill.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. Okay, there was a lot of people against us being in Iraq and the surge.
Yep.
And we gave props to Bush for ignoring the majority will of the country to do what was right.
Yep.
Now Harry Reid, I actually believe this, is ignoring the popular will of the American people because he's doing what he thinks is right.
You know, there's a big difference between doing what you think is right in terms of war and doing what you think is right in terms of domestic policy.
Well, I disagree on this, except for, on the semantic point.
Yeah.
That, there's a world of difference between supporting troops in the field and giving somebody else a new entitlement. There's a really big difference between a president that is acting constitutionally and a Congress that is acting unconstitutionally. Again, on the principle of the thing, you and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out different semantical points, that suggest something there. I would prefer that only because, the American people are fickle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a very big believer in polls, simply because they can be so easily manipulated. Not just in how they're worded, but how they're asked and who they're asked and how they're asked and the time they're asked and the circumstances around they're asked, when a surveyor calls and says, in light of 9/11, how do you feel about the United States government wiretapping your phone?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But
the question would be, how do you feel about the government wiretapping your phone? The part where it says, in light of 9/11, doesn't appear in the question.
It's
in that particular vein and stuff like that. So, I'm not a big fan of polls. I'm not willing to take a poll that says, a poll that supports my point of view, nice, okay, fine, so what? A poll that doesn't support my point of view, yeah, nice, so what? I'm not willing to accept the idea that government by polls is the appropriate way of approaching things, either positively or negatively. So I'm not willing to concede any kind of poll information one way or the other.
Yeah.
I will suggest to you that the amount of crap that's in this, should be pissing off a whole lot of people, and I believe it is.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. I mean, I'm hearing more and more people talk about violent revolution. I mean, and that's new. I mean, people have talked about revolution, but they've talked about ballot box revolution. I'm hearing people talk about violent revolution.
Well,
that's stupid.
Somebody gave me a link last night and said, look, Obama's asked the UN and the Canadian government to provide military support when California declares bankruptcy in January.
That could be.
Oh, not even Obama is that stupid to bring foreign military,
Canadian
into California, okay? Because let me tell you, I'm going to California if he brings Canadian Army onto our soil.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm taking my weapons with me.
Yep.
And I'm going to say, hey, Canuck, get the fuck out of our place. I don't give a shit who asked you to be here.
That's right.
And there's about 10 million more of us that, that are going to be standing right behind him, right behind me. So,
yep.
It's no president is that, even Obama isn't that stupid. But let's assume for a second that entire idea, is actually real. Okay. And I assumed in the conversation that I had that entire concept was real. That Obama, in fact, did that. Because one of the things they said was, their entire mechanized divisions are heading over to the West Coast. And I'm like going, 18 months ago, the Canadians could not field one battalion with their full equipment and support, for Afghanistan. And you're telling me their mechanized divisions are moving to the... Forget it. They couldn't get them out of their... out of their garages if they tried. Canadian Army couldn't field a battalion. The idea they could handle a whole division movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Not even like. So, and that person kind of faded off into the woodwork. First of all, the idea of armed rebellion within the United States, civil war in the United States, it isn't going to happen, okay? Americans, one, I don't think are interested in doing that. Do I think that there could be 3 million people descending upon Washington, D.C. at some point in the next 6 months, to inform the government that it is no longer wanted? I think that's possible.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be this national strike thing in January, which is I consider to be a pretty lame idea. I'm not, the idea of a national strike. First of all, a national strike hurts the people that are working because they're going to lose pay.
Right.
It hurts the businesses that need them to be working and buying. Okay. And it doesn't really hurt the government at all.
No.
So if you want to actually penalize the government, what you want to do is make sure the government doesn't have the money that it needs to operate.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and there is an easy way to do that.
An easy way to do that.
Yep.
Next week, when you go back to work, go to your payroll department and say, I need to change my W-2 withholding so that no federal withholding is done for just 60 days, January and February. Just 60 days. And then you resume your normal withholding. Now, if you get a refund, this process will cut your refund by about 20%.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if you don't normally get a refund, it's going to increase your tax bill by about 25%. So, that's something you need to pay attention to.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening here.
You know, it absolutely deprives the government of a significant amount of cash, when it needs it.
Absolutely.
So, and that will screw with the government more than anything else. That'll force it to do more borrowing. That'll put stress on the markets. But it doesn't hurt the average Joe working. Now, could we create an economic problem in the United States that hurts everybody? Yep. But you know what? And I think you agree with this. You know, revolution is a painful thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And if we can do a painful revolution without bloodshed,
more power
I'm all
to
for
it.
That.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Actually, you know what? We could have both. Those people who are still working could do as you suggest, and they could withhold their dollars from the federal government. Those of us who are not working and don't have a federal tax liability could go to Washington, D.C. We can have the best of both worlds.
That's true.
Yeah.
And have a big group of people show up.
Yep.
You know, and a big group of people not paying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of liking that
idea. Think they get the message? Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of liking that idea. 1-2 punch.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
All right. The only thing that I've been paying attention to is this concept, this electoral war, this idea that we're going to vote out all of these, the rhinos, the Dems, do a big deal here is, right now the only plan that I see is we're going to have a whole lot of conservatives elected, but what are we going to ask them to do? Are we asking them to do anything?
Nope. We are trusting, and we can see how far that's gotten us. We are trusting
them.
Yeah,
I think my problem is at this point is we can say, well, we're electing good conservative people, okay, and then we're going to trust them. And, every time we turn around, we go, we send these really good people to Washington, D.C., and they come back as pod people.
Yeah. Yep. They come.
So
they definitely come back as pod people.
I'm kind of inclined to if we're going to send conservative people to Washington, D.C., I think they need to have, a playbook that they need to be following.
Ah.
A plan.
Yes.
That they need to be handling, specific purposes, specific things. I'm not willing to just let them, be out there and, doing things. They're just going to be swayed by the bureaucracy that is so entrenched out there that has reached a point where it doesn't make any difference whose name or what party is on the front door because the entire staff is still the same staff that was there last Congress.
Yes, indeed. And the Congress before, and the Congress before, and the Congress before.
You know, so we have a whole lot of freshman conservatives going in there, you know, and a whole lot of people that have been there for a very long time writing the scripts, and I'm thinking I don't like that idea a whole lot.
I don't like that idea a bunch. And
so,
and given a playbook, we can overcome that.
Right. So I think we need to start this idea where we need to, it's not enough to have conservatives going to Washington, D.C. We need to have a plan for when they go to Washington, D.C. of what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Obvious things like, you know, if health care reform passes, you know, we want that piece of crap repealed.
Yes.
You know, if Obama lets the 2010, you know, if the tax cuts expire next year, if he's planning on letting them expire, you know, anything, we need to bring those back in play.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
So I think there can be a list of things that need to be done. Unlike Newt Gingrich's, you know, contract with America, I think what we need to have is a playbook for Congress.
I like that. I like that very much.
So.
And I think that we need to be very specific in it. We need to say,
right,
here is what you do. And then we go right through the litany of the things. One, you repeal health care. And that brings up an interesting point. Harry Reid has inserted in his manager's amendment a clause, actually more than a clause, a piece of the puzzle that says it takes a supermajority to repeal this particular provision. Not the whole thing, but this particular provision. That particular provision is the death panels, if you will, and more accurately titled the medical health. Forgot what it. I forgot.
Medical Health Review Board or something.
Yeah, something like that.
The board that determines what treatments will be paid for and what treatments will not be paid for.
Exactly. Now,
those decisions cannot be overridden by Congress except for by supermajority in both houses.
Exactly. Now, how he's getting around two things. How he's getting around, he can't tell the House what to do. And two, how he can, with a straight face, claim that that is not a rule change, because it is, item 15B on the Senate rules list says, hey, it only takes 51 votes. So, you know, first off, I don't know how he does it. Second off, if it takes a supermajority to, in fact, take that out, then shouldn't it take a supermajority to put it in? And they don't have 67 votes. They got 60. Period.
Well, you know, I think he's doing it by the same way that, Obama is doing this. The sky is pink. The sky is pink.
Yeah.
Repeat after me. The sky is pink.
Mm-hmm. Well, He's bound and determined that he's going to get something out of this. And it's our job to see that he doesn't.
Well, yeah, I don't think we can stop it at this particular point in time. He's going to get what he wants. The question is, what are we going to do about it after the fact?
Well, I'm not so sure that he can in fact do that. I've heard some rumblings today that said, it's the Republicans are going to challenge the whole concept of it takes a supermajority to do this. So if they can do that successfully, then I don't know where he goes from there. Because if that is challenged successfully, whether that be through the Senate or whether that be through the courts, then assuming that that's correct, then he's really stuck in a rock and a hard spot. Now, could this be a matter of he has painted himself in a corner, and two, that he has put himself in a position that no, this won't stand up, but the rest of it will. And then who cares from his point of view? Who cares?
You're suggesting that Reed is doing the, you know, the same thing that I used to do. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with my boss. Put something into it that's so obviously an error that he leaves the rest of it alone.
Yep.
You know, I believe he is smart enough to do something like that.
He might be.
So the question is, what is he trying to misdirect everyone's attention from? What other little innocuous piece of crap is buried deep in there that's not so egregious that nobody's paying attention to?
Don't know.
Of course, if we could see the whole damn thing, we might be able to have an idea.
Yeah, well, good luck on that one. Don't know that that's ever going to happen.
All right, so we have to find out what happens here in the next couple of days. I assume everything is going to go according to plan. This will be voted out of the Senate on Thursday. Then the question will be, are the Republicans who have suggested they know exactly what they're doing, idiots?
Yeah.
You know, going to do the one thing that everybody says has to be done, which is to say no conference. We want this thing to go back onto the floor of the House. No conference committee that can attend to the adjustments behind doors, closed doors. Will they do that? And I don't know if they're going to do that or not.
I don't either. It's right now. It's a puzzle. But the House clearly has two choices. They can either pass the Senate version as is, and I think they've got a problem with that because it's got no public option, it's got no mandatory buy-in.
And it does have abortion funding.
Or they can insist upon their prerogative that they get a chance to influence it and put back in the mandatory buy-in and the public option. Either way, it comes back to the Senate. Unless
we have the same thing all over again.
Yeah. Unless they have a way to pass that out of the House, and I don't think they got the votes to do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
if the House changes it, I think the Senate has to give it an up and down vote. I don't think they can do amendments at that point. Well, otherwise they go through the process and it goes back to the House and we keep doing this back and forth.
No, but it gives a chance for a filibuster again.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the Republicans don't care about a filibuster.
No, well, I agree with that, but I don't know. I just
right.
all I can do is say, okay, here's what the options are, folks.
So I sent a nasty little email. I was polite. A nasty little email to Feingold and Cole said, don't vote for this. Of course, they weren't anywhere going to get that. They won't get that email until next week.
Yeah, right.
So I sent it on Friday.
Oh, wow.
But I don't expect that they will get it before next week. So
no, they have turned off their phones, they have turned off their fax machines, and I suspect that they've turned off their emails at this point.
Yeah, I think they're just going to send them to the archive and not even bother reading them.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another farce that went down last week. One that had a much better outcome as far as we are concerned. I'm talking about the Copenhagen Hope and Change Climate Conference.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Congratulations.
Non-binding.
What happens when you take 22,000 liberals and put them in the same room? Well, you have a snowball fight is what you have.
Yeah, yeah. those are pretty incredible people. I tell you, they didn't have enough room for all of the people there. Second of all, they decided that they were going to hold this plenary meeting, and they didn't have an agreement. Gee, where have we heard that before? And then we have a president that stands there and says, even though this is a non-binding agreement, this is progress.
The sky is pink!
Yeah.
The sky is pink!
At least pink. Oh, man. I can't believe that. I mean, presidents get involved when there is one final sticking point. They get that resolved, and they come out with an agreement. This is nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. This was a complete and utter bust. Complete and utter bust. And Obama. I got to give it to Obama. You know, the man showed that he had nuts the size of raisins and told China,
right.
You have to verify your numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. He doesn't have nuts the size of raisins. He's as stupid as he has been all along.
Yeah.
This is a calculated way of saying fuck you to whoever he's talking to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
He said probably the only thing that could piss off the Chinese, more than he could piss off somebody else. We can't trust you.
Yep.
While they're sitting on, $1 trillion of our debt. We can't trust you.
Yep.
We can't. But you know what? That was probably the worst thing in the world that he could say to the Chinese.
Oh, man. And the Chinese, bless their hearts, said, there isn't enough money in the world to buy all of your debt. I just, oh, hello, that's a wake-up call.
At some point they're going to go, no mas, no mas.
Yeah.
it's going to be a sad day for us when that happens, but it's going to be a good day for us when that happens.
Well, you know what? I am ready. I am ready to face the problems that we have here domestically, and to say, okay, how do we fix them? because that's the only way that anything is going to happen. That is the only way that we are going to, as a nation, look at our problem and say, what's our way out? And there may be multiple ways out, but it will require paying down our debt.
Pain and suffering, dude. Pain and suffering.
Yes, indeed.
No blood and guts, but lots of pain and suffering.
And that is not something that the Democrats do very well.
No, not something, you know, because, you know, all of their little, you know, groups are going to say, we don't want as much pain and suffering as you can inflict on somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Senator Nelson.
Yeah, right. Boy, and is he getting the feedback on that. Man, oh, man.
As rightly he should. As rightly as he should.
Yes,
he
should.
I want to know why the hell Wisconsin has to pay for Nebraska. I just want to know where that
California comes
up in the Constitution.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, I have long said, well, as long as this conversation is going has gone on, show me where in the Constitution it says one state needs to pay for another. Now, Mary Landrieu got $300 million. She was able to couch that in terms that didn't directly impact it directly impacted the budget, but it didn't directly impact the health care. However, Ben Nelson and Senator Martinez from Florida exempted certain parts. Well, in the case of Nelson, all of his state, and two, in terms of Martinez, three of his most populous counties, and directly exempted them from the health care bill. Now, California, where were you? Where was Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein? How come you didn't get that kind of a deal? I've heard as much as $3 million. Oh, gee, thanks a lot.
Well, you know, it's this, you know, there's a problem with horse trading. You need to be able to see the horse. And if you see the horse, then trading, you know, tends to be pretty on the up and up. And right now, a whole lot of people done got horse traded when they weren't even in the barn.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yep.
I got two more things to do. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
And I kind of want to shift the focus here a little bit. Last night I had somebody that just went, I would suggest to you that they went over the deep end, but apparently they went over the deep end a really long time ago.
Oh, okay.
You know, and there was a time in my life, might have been a time in your life, when you were willing to listen to international conspiracy theories. Was there a time in your life when you actually listened to those conspiracy theories?
Yeah, but God, it was so long ago. I mean, I was in my 30s, young 30s.
Okay. All right, so there was a time when the idea that an international cabal, an international group, could be pulling the strings, you know, behind, you know, the entire planet's geopolitical system. When that, not when it could actually happen, but when the thought that it could happen, the idea that some, you know, nefarious group was actually running things, you know, was a prominent feature in the fear-mongering that existed, you know, through a lot of the 60s, 70s, and only into the very, very early 80s at the most. But,
yeah,
you know, 60s and 70s, it was very prevalent, the idea that the communists were everywhere, doing everything, but of course it wasn't just them, because if they were actually doing that, you know, they've overrun the whole planet in no time at all, so something must be holding them back, or are they just... You know, I would rather ascribe to stupidity the events that go on in the world than any conspiracy, because apparently humans are a whole lot better at stupidity than they are at conspiracy.
This guy
said that our entire economic system was about to collapse because of the Illuminati.
Oh, boy. Okay, fine.
Okay. So this 5-minute conversation had been going on, and I went, okay. I actually thought that I was talking to somebody intelligent.
Yeah.
I can send you hundreds of links. And I'm like, you know, please stop. You know, I grew up out of that. You know, I grew out of that 30 years ago. You know, I'm not into the conspiracy theories anymore. You know, I can show you all kinds of... Please stop. I'm not going to buy into your little conspiracy theory. But you know what? There's a whole lot of people, and a lot of them are on our side of the aisle, who are also on the other side of, you know, really seriously fanatical kooks on the left. They have so much something in common. This, you know, idea that there's this, you know, underworld, you know, pulling the strings of the whole planet, and all we have to do is wake up and, you know, get rid of all the bankers, and, you know, the world will be a better place. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to say that actually Shakespeare was a member of the Illuminati, you know, and he wanted to get rid of the lawyers first.
I see. Okay.
You know, we want to get rid of the lawyers first, and then the bankers, and then everything will be all wonderful and rosy in the world.
Yeah. I'm sure it will be. Okay.
You know, so I'm calling
Illuminati,
them the crazy con critters.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy con critters. You know, please, whenever you see them, everybody, whenever you come across them, please walk up to them and slap them really hard. Figuratively speaking. You know, do not let them just, you know, think that there's anybody rational that's actually going to agree with them. Please.
I know.
They so desperately want to believe that the world can be fixed by just getting rid of a small group of people.
Exactly.
It's no different than, you know, the climate... You know, alarmists under the same process. If we just get rid of all the CO2, the plants will die. So I now know that sulfur is having the lack of sulfur is having a significant impact on global warming, and apparently, CFCs are having a significant impact on global warming. You might ask, how do CFCs? I thought we got rid of CFCs back in the 70s. Well, in fact, we did, but apparently we have a big old ozone hole that is persisting, and cosmic rays pumping through there into Antarctica is doing all kinds of significant damage to the system down there, and gee, it might actually have something to do with global warming. Okay, you know what? Here's my problem. The global warming alarmists believe that if you just pull the little string called CO2, everything will be okay. Our ecosystem is way more complicated than that.
Way more complicated than that. Yes.
You know, and if just one little lever could be pressed and everything would get better, you know, then our system is considerably less complicated than anybody suggests that it is. And then I'm going to wonder how come they predicted 1 inch of snow today and we got 3.
Yeah, right.
All right. 5 minutes left. I have one more thing to say. It's going to take 1 minute. Then I'm going to do. You're going to do your shutout, and then for the last 4 minutes, we're going to do our little piece of music for the last 4 minutes because it's Christmas, and we're going to do that.
Cool.
In there. I am almost done reading Sarah Palin's Going Rogue.
Uh-huh. Good.
And something I read yesterday disturbed me.
Uh-huh.
It will not change my support of Sarah Palin because the issue is not something that she pulls into the political spectrum.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But Sarah Palin is a creationist.
Okay.
An old world creationist, not a young world creationist.
Uh-huh.
A young world creationist would scare me. Old world creationist does. She is not an evolutionary believer. A believer in evolution.
Okay.
That bothers me a little bit.
Hmm. I'll be darned.
So,
I'll be darned.
I'll be darned that it bothers me, or I'll be darned that she believes that?
Actually, both. That she believes it, although, you probably have as much evidence for that as you have against it. But two, that it bothers you enough to mention it.
It does. You know, I have a problem with ID, and, it concerns me from a scientific point of view that part of the problem I see with ClimateGate is that a lot of people are becoming anti-scientist because of it, and that worries me almost as much as the fact that some scientists have screwed the pooch, as it were, about trust against science. All right,
that's
sir.
That's become political. Yep. Okay. Arkansas traveler, Pammy, Memorati, all the rest of you that are listening, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a splendid holiday season. We hope that you spend it safely with your family and friends, that it's enjoyable, and that you spend some time thinking about the reason for the season.
Yeah.
And yes, as an agnostic, I can say that. And for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy the music. We did a little bit of it last week. We'll do the longer version. And we'll see you on the other side, Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the wish of
nice piece of music.
That is a very nice piece of music.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Last Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Excellent piece of music, an enjoyable piece of music. If you get the opportunity to listen to it, please do so.
The story
is pretty interesting. You know, the angel is charged with bringing back a gift that only an angel can hold.
Wow.
On Christmas Eve, he goes in search of a gift for the Lord's birthday that only an angel can hold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does, is he comes back finally with that message. The, I didn't have a whole lot planned for the green room tonight.
Good.
You know, I was kind of in the mood. The, you know, Victoria asked me what was the show going to be about, you know, conservative Christmas. You know, and I alluded to it before. You know, I've been asked on occasion, not recently, on occasion, you know, if as an agnostic I could celebrate Christmas.
Hmm.
And I find the question to be, you know, ridiculous. You know, liberals, you know, celebrate the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they would think that it's unusual I could celebrate Christmas.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, and the reason for the season, I mean, you know, Christmas is about the birth of Christ.
Right.
Okay. Did Christ exist? I believe Christ existed. You know, archaeologically, there was at least 4 or 5 of them. Historically, there was at least 4 or 5 religions in which the leader of the religion was a virgin birth and died and was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
So, by that token, you know, historically, Christ was not an unusual character in that particular sense. I'm certain that Jesus of Nazareth, you know, probably existed, and, you know, many of the words that were attributed to him, in fact, you know, were spoken by him. Does that suggest that I believe that the Christ was, you know, the actual Son of God? No.
No.
But you know what? It's not important to me that being the case. There are a great number of things that Christ said that are good. Wisdom.
Oh yeah.
People are stupid to ignore wisdom simply because the source they don't like. You know, wisdom is wisdom. Knowledge is knowledge. You know, in most regards, I don't care where it came from. If it's applicable and it's usable, hell, use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I might not have liked Thomas Jefferson personally, but you know, the Declaration of Independence? Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I there are things that, you know, that Christianity stands for that I can say that's pretty good. There are things that Christianity stands for that I think are pretty bad. But, you know, actually there's not a whole lot of things that I can think of right offhand that are pretty bad. You know, I think, you know, more of it's oriented towards the religion per se rather than the dogma.
Mm.
I don't have any problem with Christian dogma in general.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a big believer that, you know, the youth of our society have to be trained in morality and ethics some way. Christianity is a perfectly fine way of doing that. Hence, CJ has been raised a Christian. With my, not only my acceptance and support, but my active involvement in that training process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any man that will believe nothing will believe anything.
Mm.
So, you know, CJ will have a grounding in faith on the premise that such a grounding will allow her to be less prone to the stupidity of... I saw a video. I don't know who sent me to this YouTube video of these people in a forest in, I think it was North Carolina, and they were bemoaning some old tree growths had been cut down, had been logged.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're around this tree stump crying and hugging and screaming out to the trees that they love the trees and they love the rock. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, their God. You know,
mm-hmm.
The tree, their God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you don't have God, you will make God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, and that's my general opinion. You know, it's like charity. I believe in charity. I believe you should all give to charity. That means I won't have to worry about doing it myself. All
yeah.
you guys are taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the vast majority of people need God in their life. If you've got God in your life, you won't be screwing with me so much.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know, because if God's directing your hand, you know, he's not going to say, kill me.
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot. If you can be charitable and Christian, you're not likely to be screwing me as much as Harry Reid and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
So,
that's
I encourage you to consider the reason for the season, to consider the charity.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We give to charity, and I'm not going to toot a horn. You
yeah.
know, we give money. We have been bell ringers for the Salvation Army for several years.
That is so cool.
You know, it's something that it's a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a positive thing to do.
Yep.
And you know, we dump a fair amount of change over the course of the season into buckets as we wander around. And CJ has gotten the understanding that that's a process that we do. You know, there are positive things to those type of positive things. I'm not going to dismiss them simply because I don't share the belief system that underlies it. You know, the outcomes, in most regards, are positive. So, I can wish people Merry Christmas, and I'm happy to get a Merry Christmas in return.
Yep.
You know, some people have come to me and say, well, for you, I'll say Happy Holidays. And I'm like, why? It's Christmas. Wish me a Merry Christmas. No. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Jewish. You know? You can
yep.
say Christmas to me.
It's
not
okay.
I'm not going to go blow my head off.
Yeah, really.
I'm not an anti-smoker, former smoker, anti-smoker. You know?
Yeah.
Stupidity. It's just...
I know. I know.
That mentality is so stupid. What a waste of time and energy. You know, take advantage of the fact that, good people of goodwill and good cheer, make the world a much better place than people of, ill winds and, hateful stares.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
I'm encouraging.
You know?
And, and there is... when I attended the Fundamentalist Christian Church in California,
mm-hmm.
The church, you probably heard this at some point in time, guitar masses, were the rage in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The church had a little band, a couple guitarists, and they did music, and there was some singers, and but the whole church sang a good portion of the service, probably about 40 minutes of the service was singing worship, and 20 minutes of it was the pastor doing the sermon.
Yeah, right.
But because the whole church sang, and because of the way it was set up, the church did lots of the music in four-part harmonies.
Wow.
There would be the people on the left side of the church would be one, the men and women would each have their own parts, and the people on the right side of the church would, the men and women would have their own parts.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a four-part harmony in a lot of the music.
Wow.
And, you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, the Hallelujah Chorus, Kendall Messiah, you know, moves so many people.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That type of, when you're involved in that type of music and you're really involved in it, it's extremely moving music.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's you, I know you do it, I do it, we were in the military because it's just, you know, people that are never in the military don't understand this.
There are
some people I think do, but people that are in the military understand this. When you stand up and you say the Pledge of Allegiance or, you know, sing the national anthem, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's this visceral reaction inside me, you know, that's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, military people, you know, you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their faces. You know, when they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance or singing the national anthem, they're singing the national anthem. They're feeling and taking in those words, and they mean something. You know, there's a solid meaning to those words. They're not just mouthing the words that they've said over and over and over again. You know, there's meaning between it. And there's that music, you know, in that environment, you know, has meaning. And the Episcopal Church that we went to for a couple years, around this season, would sing one of my most favorite songs that we did in four-part harmony in California. The church did not do four-part harmonies.
Wow.
We barely could get the chorus to do a second part harmony part of it. But the rest of the church didn't do it. You know, but when the pastor was just beside herself, she realized one holiday season that I was singing. And she came up to me and she goes, "You were singing that song." I went, "I was."
Yeah.
I said, It's my most favorite, you know, Christian song, period.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, ask me what the song is called. Christ Is Risen. Believe it or not. And I said, you know, for me, that song just resonates emotionally with me. You know, the words don't have the same meaning that they did, but because they did at one time, you know, that emotional resonance is still there. So
sure.
I said, yeah, I sing it. I said, I wish to hell we could teach the church four-part harmonies, because when you get a four-part harmony into that song, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, anyways, she was very surprised. She goes, are there any others? And I'm like, why, are you trying to get them into the liturgy? She goes, well, actually, yeah, I'd be interested. I said, nope, that's the only one. I said,
yeah, right.
You can sing a whole lot of them. I said, but that was always my favorite.
Oh, man.
I said, so, you know, again, you know, there's a great deal about Christianity that is wonderful. There's a great deal of the philosophy and the ideology that's associated with it that's wonderful, and I'm certainly not willing to throw that stuff out simply because I don't necessarily believe in the foundational belief system. You know,
I mean,
and I think that's appropriate, and I think that's, you know, fundamental to our principles.
Yep.
You know, we, and this is something that I try to drive home with people all the time, you know, if you believe in conservative principles, if you believe that the individual is sovereign, if you believe that individual rights are preeminent, then you have to accept that some people are going to behave in ways that you disagree with, and you have to be okay with that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You know, their pursuit of happiness is not going to be yours, and you can't make it that way if you are going to hold conservative principles.
Yep. Yep, yep.
You know, and it drives me crazy when conservatives don't understand that. And,
yep.
You know, it probably drives them crazy when I can sit there and say, you know, Merry Christmas as an agnostic because, you know, that's the principle. It's the principle.
Yep. It is. It is. Yeah.
that's my Christmas. I won't call it a rant. It's not my Christmas rant. This is my Christmas thing. You know,
it's your Christmas story.
It's my Christmas story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sticking to it.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, and there's one other reason why Christmas is really important and why I like Christmas.
What's that?
I get presents!
Ah!
People give me shit! Okay.
Oh,
you
man.
You think for a second I'm going to quit, you know, letting people give me things? You're crazy.
That's right. You know, you get out there underneath the tree and you open up the stuff and it's like, oh, yeah, this is Christmas. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
I love it.
CJ and Victoria wanted to know what I wanted for Christmas this year, and I told them I wanted for Christmas this year, and I said, you can't spend more than $200. I said, if it's more than $200, don't bother. I'm not interested in spending that kind of money on it. So they found out it was $350, so they're not going to buy it. So they said, and I said, that's perfectly fine. I'm perfectly happy that, you know, you're not going to buy it because I don't want to spend that kind of money on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to discuss what it is, but it's irrelevant. And they said, so what else do you want? And I said, well, you know, that was, you know, kind of the only thing that I was interested in. So, you know, nothing that I can think of. You know, and both of them looked at me and said, you're not helping.
Yeah, right.
But talk to my mother. She's had that problem for years.
Yeah, really.
You know, in the big scheme of things, you know, when I want something, when I need something, you know, I go get it.
Exactly.
You know, and most of the things that I get are very specific, you know, easy things. Like, you know, I have a 21-inch widescreen monitor for my
mm-hmm.
computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps me because I can have multiple, you know, full-size pages up, you know, next to each other. You know, when I'm working on things, you know, dump two documents side by side. It makes it a lot easier to work on things. You know, when there's movies that have come out that I want, I went and got the DVDs. You know, when there's music I want, I bought the CDs and, you know, had them come. So I haven't held off on things.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not much else that I want, you know. And things that I look for are, you know, what will make my day easier.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And we went to IKEA on Saturday because I promised CJ to do so because we didn't get to do it on Thanksgiving when I was sick. And, you know, we spent $500 at IKEA, and we didn't buy any presents for anybody.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, it was just stuff we,
wow.
You know,
wow.
That we wanted for the house to do certain things. You know, the drapes. Victoria, you know, finally said no more. She's willing to give up the blinds and, you know, put up drapes. Because, frankly, drapes are warmer in the winter.
Well,
you
sure.
Than blinds. You know, so... You know, we're putting that stuff up. You know, the lighting in the kitchen over the sink and over the center of the island in the kitchen has halogen light bulbs. And this is a warning to you, to everybody. You know, if you've got kitchen or bathroom lights that use halogen lights, okay, especially if the light fixture tends to be a closed fixture, in other words, it doesn't have airflow around it.
Yeah.
Halogen bulbs can cause the ceramic pins to start to degrade.
I didn't know that.
They can't. And what happens is that once the ceramic pins start to degrade, the wire contacts become exposed.
Whoa.
Yeah. They become a hazard. And so pay attention to those to that thing. So we haven't used those two lights for the last couple of months because we need to replace the fixtures. And, you know, we bought the fixtures this weekend
So
that I could replace them, you know, in the kitchen with regular light bulb fixtures rather than halogen fixtures.
Yeah.
And I've decided that those are dangerous things. The halogens are just simply not safe in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there
Absolutely.
Are places for having them, but, you know, they're not. And the first place I ever saw them was on top of those torch lights.
Yeah.
Make sure that no cloth gets onto those lights because, you know, they're so hot that the fabric catches fire almost right away. Bad idea. Bad, altogether bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Bad. I use them for shop lights, but other than that, that's about it.
Right, and most of the shop lights are well protected with you know, heavy duty glass.
Well, and they aren't on for that long.
Right.
I mean,
you use them for the
gracious.
Short periods of time, stuff like that, rather than on for 8 or 10 hours at a time.
Exactly.
Especially during the winter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, we spent a whole lot of money on Saturday, and we just didn't buy any presents for anybody. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
I know.
We've had a nice run up to Christmas. I hope you two have had a nice run up to your Christmas.
Yep. In fact, we've got my sister and her friend here, and we're going to have some friends over for maybe before Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve dinner, but for sure Christmas dinner.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's going to be a full house, and we're looking forward to it.
You know, there's certainly, you know, I think, well, you guys are old fogies.
Yeah, right.
You know, we still have a kid in the house, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is.
CJ is still interested in having, you know, the idea, you know, we talked about the idea of going away for Christmas, and she was like, no.
No.
No. You know, Christmas morning, you know, get up, go to the tree, you know. No.
Yeah.
You know, she might be 15, but she's learned. Presents! Presents
yeah,
are
presents!
Good. We don't want
presents.
We don't want to
presents
stop
are
presents.
Good.
You know? I may not believe in Santa, but presents are still good.
Yeah. I'm, you know, what the heck?
So, you know.
Yep. Well, you know, I certainly hope that you and yours have a very happy and merry Christmas, and that's about it.
Yeah, go cure your hiccups.
There you go. I got them too.
Bill, have a wonderful Christmas, and we
you
will
too.
Talk next week. Good night, everybody. Merry
Good
Christmas.
Night.